Economics serves as a language, that it's a tool for conquering language. So the problem is bigger than it seems, particularly as we're never allowed to see it. When Bentham tells the philosopher king, global statesman, he who defined the language ruled the universe, we haven't appreciated because we're not encouraged to think the thought that this is quite literally true. That as creatures of illusion, we are made of words, sculpted with words, invented, designed with words, which makes their use a sacred trust, a bond between humans, not to abuse it. And abuse it, the so-called rulers have done without cessation from day one, since class begun, by philosopher, king, statesman. And what are these words we're ruled with, if not versions of be productive, be useful, be good, be obedient? And when these words oppose the body, we're told the body's wrong and must be governed. And thus begins our training in management, in utilitarianism, in economics. The worldview we're all trained in is designed not for us, but to facilitate the use of us, to convert us into resources for the statesman. So how are we supposed to enter into authentic discussions of our future when authentic thought is not allowed to exist? And let me give an illustration of this. The analyses I heard yesterday, this was on Friday the 30th of May, 2014, of misogyny in response to the recent killings of young people, students, at UC Santa Barbara by a fellow student who apparently left messages behind expressing his hatred of women. And I can't tell you how saddening it was for me to hear their analysis after all the dedicated, tireless efforts of Alice. Quote from the woman I heard on the radio on a progressive station. The man who did the killings felt entitled to women's bodies. And when they didn't give them to him, when they didn't do what he wanted, he hated them for it. Why would a man feel that women owe them anything? Such men treat women like objects to be owned and mistreated. Unquote. Isn't that how children are treated, handled, manipulated, feelings laughed at and dismissed? And isn't it women too who do this? Now that truth is all around us, right in front of our eyes, and yet we never see it. Why is that? When will we have our discussions of Alice Miller? Most of us are completely detached from our own early childhood experience. We've distanced ourselves from our own bodies, dismissed our own feelings, because our parents told us to, and to please them in order to receive the absolutely necessary recognition. We did. In a speech I gave last year at a conference on active nonviolence, I said, circle of contempt is the way Alice Miller describes the process by which the basic divide of class, of power, the divide between citizen, big, and barbarian, small, begins. She shows us that it is here, in the unconscious dismissiveness with which we treat children, that the seeds of belief in rank, in force, and in scarcity. Because there's never enough love, right? You have to earn it, right? Are planted. In the chapter of Prisoners of Childhood by Alice Miller, called The Vicious Circle of Contempt, she discusses how callousness, the absence of empathy, is normalized in a system in which loving parents, quote unquote, routinely humiliate their children. She describes watching a mom and dad laughingly deny their child ice cream that they are both enjoying, while he cries and begs for some. She writes that their lack of empathy for what he was feeling was a way of saying, we are big and may do as we like, but for you, it is too cold. You may only enjoy yourself as we do when you get to be big enough, she writes. Contempt for those who are smaller and weaker, and this is quoting Alice, contempt for those who are smaller and weaker is the best defense against a breakthrough of one's own feelings of helplessness. It's an expression of this split-off weakness. The strong person who knows that he too carries this weakness within himself because he has consciously experienced it doesn't need to demonstrate his strength through such contempt.